the Great Shalom Broadcast. My name is Sharon Sarles, and today in the studio I have a very special guest, Dr. Linda Swank. Welcome.
Hello, how are you?
We are great, and we are so happy to have you here. Dr. Swank is going to answer questions about assessments, and her specialty is in speech and language, and so I know that you're going to want to call your friends who are interested in this, and in fact, you may call us. We will take call-ins this morning, and our number here in the Austin metro area is 512-637-9673. 637-WORD, or if you are outside of the metro area, you may call us toll-free at 1-888-860-WORD. That's 1-888-860-9673. And we also, remember, have blog capabilities, so if you have comments or questions, you may log on to www.greatshalom.org. And also, later today, you're going to be available to the public at a camp fair. We'll tell our viewers, our listeners, how to get there later, but tell us about that.
Every year, Austin Family puts on a large children's camp fair at the Long Center, formerly the Palmer Center. And today, the Swank Enrichment Center is going to be part of that fair. There are hundreds of booths, and it's a really big deal. It's a time to plan your summer camps for your children, and we will be part of that.
Great. And so we will try to remember to help everybody find you later on. And so also I want to say that next week we have a physician and researcher who will be talking to us about the whole issue of autism and, yes, even that controversial topic, vaccines. You'll want to come in and tune in next week because I'm very excited to have this doctor on. And so now, I have Dr. Linda Swank, and she's already mentioned the Swank Enrichment Center. You're a PhD. Tell us about your credentials.
My credentials are a PhD in speech-language pathology, specializing in child language disorders and development. I also have a bachelor's and master's in speech-language pathology and a master's of education in special education administration.
Okay, so you know what it's like to be an educator.
Yes, I do.
Right, as well as a clinician. And yes, it's exciting that you've opened up the Swank Enrichment Center. And I understand you target children who are essentially elementary school age.
Most of our children range from right around kindergarten, and we do go on up through the middle schools to high school years. But most of our children are in elementary school because that's usually when people notice that their children are struggling.
Mm-hmm. And so what happens at the Swank Enrichment Center?
Lots of activities, but mainly we have a two-prong approach. We have the assessment side that helps us to identify exactly what is going on with the child. And then once we make a differential diagnosis in our assessment, then we're able to give a very unique, customized, individualized program option for the children.
Okay. And so I'm very excited to hear about that because what I'm hearing is the finding out what is wrong, going along hand in hand with, now, what can we do for this child?
Right.
And so often, I think the ball is dropped between those two things. So first, let's talk about what is an assessment, because there are also other things like screenings or milestones. But what does this word assessment really mean?
Wow, that's a really broad term, assessment. And it can be anywhere from, like you say, a screening to being assessed at school with standardized testing, like the tax test or the scholastic aptitude test or psychological testing that looks at standardized scores and does discrepancy formula to label a child. At the Swank Enrichment Center, our goal is to look at the child individually, so we handpick our assessments so that from what the parents have told us and what the parents tell us the teachers are seeing is how I will select the different tools I'll use to do the differential diagnosis. The goal is to find out how this unique creation, this child, has been put together and how they learn and what it is that's maybe giving them difficulty. One of the things that I think is unique about us is we look at the child as a unique learner, and oftentimes the problem may be the environment that the child is in learning. Mm-hmm. And so we're willing to say, maybe it's not just the child, but maybe it's the environment. So mm-hmm. we're trying to look at it holistically and say, does this child fit with this learning style? Maybe this child just has some simple delays. Maybe this child has some unique deficits. And through a differential diagnostic, that's what we do.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so the discrepancy now, tell me if I'm incorrect, but my understanding is that in the public school, the bar to get special services is, does this child differ significantly from the norm? So they're looking at IQ and performance,
yes,
which may not tell us all the things we want to know when we ask the question, now how can we help this particular child?
Right, and I think that's why a lot of parents end up coming to see us. They use us hand in hand maybe with the school assessment, because the school assessment has a different goal. They do have to follow the guidelines of the laws of IDEA, and so they do have to look at, does this child qualify for those services that are paid for by the taxpayers? So there is that issue of accountability, and that's totally understandable that we're taking that individual in a large educational system and comparing that individual to see if indeed they qualify. But the goal of a private assessment like at the Swank Enrichment Center is to say, all right, maybe this child has been given a label, but how do we best help this child? And how does this child learn? Because the diagnosis in the school is simply comparing the individual with the population and saying, yes, you are learning disabled in math or reading, or you have dyslexia, or you have ADHD, or whatever that label is that allows you to have some services. Our goal is to say, while those labels are important, they don't always lead to intervention, mm-hmm. an intervention that is uniquely customized for that child's learning. So that is what our goal is.
Right. So here in the private sector, you mm-hmm. can choose whichever tool gets at trying to find out what the problem may be, or, and maybe it's not even a problem, but the right fit for that particular individual child. And none of us are the average norm, are we?
None of us. And I like how you said the right fit. I think that's a good way to describe it, is we have this puzzle. I mean, we're very unique creations. None of us are the same. And so what we're trying to do is be part of putting that puzzle together. The parent is very important, the child, and giving us some background about what has been going on at the learning center is important. So, yes, mm-hmm. it's a puzzle that mm-hmm. we're trying to fit together.
Right. And so many children, it seems, have some issue around learning, and at the basis of that often is speech and language.
Yes, language underlies so many of our children's learning challenges. Many of the children that come to us have been labeled either ADHD, or the teachers suspect that, or maybe behavior disordered, even dyslexia. But what we are finding is that a lot of times our children have language processing problems. And by that we mean that our teaching approach, our instructional approach, is very verbal. We tell the children what to do. We ask them to do a lot of writing on paper and pencil writing. And if you have a language difficulty, you're going to look attention deficit, because that isn't the way you learn. So you get antsy and you start squirming and you get distracted, and teachers are only able to look at the outcome behavior. They're not able to look at what underlies this distraction. So when they come to us, we're giving them verbal tests, but we're also giving them nonverbal testing to say, well, how did they learn it in a nonverbal way? And so often our children who have been suspected of being attention deficit, we find in the nonverbal activities, they're just really focused. Or we'll ask the parents and say, well, are they able to do certain things at home for a long period of time? And they'll say, yes, they can. Well, if you're attention deficit, chances are you're not going to be able to focus on any one thing for very long. But if you have these children who are doing some things for a long period of time, but when you get into verbal activities where they're having to listen or having to read and write, and they get really very distracted, then you have to suspect maybe it's a specific language impairment.
Mm-hmm. And of course, the way we set up public schools is not really for kinesthetic learners at all, although the real world has a lot of 3D in it, real activities, and across the history of the universe, we've had a lot of apprenticeships and that sort of things, but the way we do school is very verbal, as you say, and my understanding is even for the visual learner, that some of that processing is the auditory processing. I understand that has something to do with dyslexia now, we think?
Yes. In fact, Texas does have a very strong dyslexia law, and they do have people that are trained to work mainly with dyslexia. One of the breakthroughs of the 1990s was to find out that the key component to reading is that level of speech sound awareness, what we call phonological awareness. And so dyslexia is certainly an area where the specific language impaired children cross over into dyslexia sometimes. But a lot of times, and I do want to say something about this, that what we're finding is that many of our children who were identified as dyslexic will go through the dyslexia training programs at the schools, and they will make some progress. But then, as they get into the more complex reading, then their language problems really begin to show forth, and the dyslexia training doesn't really help these children to move on forward in the more complex language problems. So the specific language impaired children oftentimes are the hidden handicapped children. They're called the gap kids. They're kind of in this gap where they make some progress with the phonological awareness training, but then all of a sudden, as they get into third, fourth grade, they begin to hit some walls. Mm-hmm. And so that's where the more complex language issues come.
Right. And so all of us have some sort of weakness. Many, many people have language weaknesses, and it seems to be more lately. Isn't that true?
I think the reason that it seems more is that we're in a very highly verbal society. We are a first world nation. We are a nation that creates lots and lots of new technologies. An interesting fact is that out of the 6,000 languages that we know that are in the world, the average vocabulary of these languages is 50,000 words in their language. In English, it's 600,000 words. Mm-hmm. So that tells you that English is a very highly verbal language, and we are in the cutting edge of creating new terms. So yes, our children are under a lot of pressure to perform in a very verbal society.
Mm-hmm. And in our economy, learning how to learn is of high importance. We're not just farmers, not that I against farmers, but you know, it's not digging, everyone's digging with a hoe. In mm-hmm. our culture, everyone needs to know how to retool and relearn and at a rapid pace. And everyone depends on really literacy skills.
Absolutely, absolutely. We no longer have that luxury of saying, well, if this doesn't work out, I can go over here and weave some baskets, or I can weave some rugs. And that has happened within the last 100 years. Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely right. The lifetime learning is so necessary. And I liked what you said earlier about different learning styles. Children and adults can learn the literacy, but oftentimes they do need much more hands-on and active and interactive types of options to learn that literacy.
Mm-hmm. So I really fear that parents are afraid that their child is somehow damaged, when if we only looked at it as, okay, now we're going to be competitive learners, how can we best learn, rather than, oh no, my child is damaged, and if we get this label, we have to resign ourselves to a death sentence. And if we thought in the more positive way, then we would get that help at an earlier age, and things would go much better for our children.
Absolutely. Early intervention is the key, and I would really encourage parents to not be afraid to go out and have assessments, to have several assessments. Don't ever be afraid to have differing opinions. I currently have a family member that the little girl is 3 years old. She has gone to three different groups to be assessed, and each assessment is giving them part of that puzzle. And they've had some various labels. Some of people have said it's behavior. Some say she's on the autism spectrum disorder. So as they put that puzzle together, what they are learning is how their child learns. So I would encourage parents, don't be afraid of the labels. Let those labels be, you know, that makes us professionals feel comfortable. But remember, your child's unique, and you know your child best. We really emphasize this at the Swank Enrichment Center. The parent knows the child best. So when we begin to think we're learning something about the child, we talk to the parents and say, this is what we're seeing. How does that fit with your picture of your child? It's so important, and I think that's a key, is that parents do know their children.
Right, and we will come back to that point. What should a parent do to start? But for now, I would like to thank our new partner, Mike, at 2-Day Auto Body. In fact, this is where I trade. When somebody runs into my car, I go see Mike, and he fixes my car. It looks sharp, and I'm glad to trade with him. He's an honest businessman, and he cares about kids. So thank you, Mike, for caring about kids and supporting this broadcast. Mike at 2-Day Auto Body, 1143 Airport. I also wish to thank Brushy Creek Church. Very soon you will hear Pastor Don Olson's voice inviting you to worship at Brushy Creek at 10700 Anderson Mill Road at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings. Also Bible study Wednesday at 7, and they have a rocking youth group complete with fog machine and electrified music Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock, Brushy Creek. And we are here on the Word 98.5, 99.3, KLGO.net.
Oh, death has been defeated and life has been released. No longer are God's people walking in defeat. We're rejoicing in the Lord for the victory. Celebrate the victory. Rejoice in what the Lord has done. Celebrate the victory. The enemy's on the run. Oh, death has been defeated and life has been released. No longer are God's people walking in defeat.
Educators, reduce conflict on your staff. Clear up business problems and motivate your staff. Sharon Sarles will show you how. Yes, and recognize clock hours are available for early childhood and private school educators in Texas. For more information, go to www.orgstrat.net. That's orgstrat.net. Training educators since 1990 and consulting since 1998.
Homeschoolers now have confident one-stop shopping with professional advice from an experienced Christian homeschooler. Just log on to faithfamilylearning.org for a recommended selection of curricula, books, educational equipment, supplements, and resource links. Shop the nation while still supervising the children. Just go to faithfamilylearning.org. That's faithfamilylearning.org.
Oh, death has been defeated and life has been released. No longer are God's people walking in defeat. We're rejoicing in the Lord for the victory. Celebrate the victory. Rejoice in what the Lord has done. Celebrate the victory.
This is the Great Shalom Broadcast, and in our studio today we have Dr. Linda Swank of the Swank Enrichment Center right here in the Austin area, and we're talking about assessments. So if a parent has a preschooler, a young child, or maybe a child just beginning school, and they are beginning to suspect that there is some difference there, or the child is not progressing as they expect, they're wondering what should they do. What kind of assessment should they look for? How should they proceed?
I think one thing, if they're, for example, in a preschool, listen to the teacher. The teacher a lot of times has a lot of experience with these children and their developmental milestones. They should probably look for a place, and of course I'm going to be prejudiced here, but a place where you have a child language specialist like myself and a child development specialist like my colleague Candace Razzo. And both of us work together because we bring something different to the assessment. We're looking at children, what they should be doing at certain ages and stages. And yet, with Candace's background, she is a child and family specialist, so she looks at the entire family system and the child. I look at the child from the idea of speech and language development and cognitive development. So you want a more holistic approach to the assessment. So that's probably what you're going to look for. I also encourage them to consider occupational therapy, occupational therapist and vision therapist, auditory therapist. So you want a holistic approach.
Okay. And do we have a call-in right now? Not yet. Okay. So look for a holistic approach so you can find out what's going on.
Right.
And listen to the teachers. And, of course, the teachers are encouraged to listen to the parents. And
yes.
Children may evidence different behaviors in different environments.
Absolutely.
Right. So a team approach is always a great thing if you
yes.
can accomplish that. And so once they get a report back, and I have sat with many parents with a report in psychologies, and they go, what does this mean? So
right.
then what?
Well, and we have too, and we've had parents bring in their reports, and we'll interpret them for them. You can look at it a couple of ways. Oftentimes people will, different professionals will say, here are the standard scores. This is how your child compares to the norm. And while that's important, that oftentimes leads you out in the middle of the field and leaves you there. What we try to do is say, while that's interesting, it isn't the key. The key is that we need to know how do we teach this child? How do we intervene with this child? Where do we go now to help the child? The label's interesting, but that doesn't help the child. How are we going to teach the child?
Right. So our time is slipping away. Once again, tell us briefly a success story.
Last year, we had a young boy come in. He was about 7 years old. He was in the middle of first grade, and he had completely shut down. He wasn't learning to read. He wasn't keeping up with his class. So the mother, and he had had some testing done, and the mother brought him in for an assessment. We did the differential diagnostic, and we found out that indeed he had a superior nonverbal IQ, but developmentally he really wasn't ready for the reading. And she pulled him out of school for about a semester, homeschooled him, and brought him to our Swank Enrichment Center for 4 hours a week. Then also he attended our summer programs. And this year he entered second grade. He has passed all his benchmarks. He is a totally different child. He is thrilled, and he was able to exit therapy earlier this fall. And that's another thing I want to mention to parents. When you have specific language impairment, oftentimes intense therapy at the appropriate times will bring that child up to where that child needs to be. However, language is complex. We continue to gain language skills into our 20s. And so you might go along for a year, maybe even 2 years, and they might hit a wall again. You come back in, we look carefully at what's going on, and then we start intense therapy. And then we move on and dismiss and go on.
Okay. So tell us very quickly where you will be. And, of course, the website will connect them to the Swank Enrichment Center.
Yes.
Where you'll be today.
We will be at the Austin Family Camp Fair, and that is at the Long Center at 701 Riverside. And lots of camps going on. So come and see us. We would love to talk with you. Both Miss Razzo and I will be there so you can get some free consults.
Okay, wonderful. So let us pray as we always do at the end of our broadcast. Lord God, King of the universe, in the mighty name of Jesus, with his power and for the sake of those he bought, I call for release from fear for all my partners and friends listening. I bind the enemy who would like to make us fearful and render us ineffective. We choose to obey the command of fear not. And I loose the holy angels, the ministering spirits, to protect the children who are in the charge of those parents and educators. I speak the word of God over them, that they may be taught of the Lord, and that they may all have great shalom, total well-being. Amen. If you prayed that with me, write me or email me and get the 31 Confessions Over Children. That is our free offer for this month. Just email me at info@greatshalom.org, and I will send it to you. No questions asked and no fee required. However, the word does tell us that those who are taught ought to communicate in all good things with the one who teaches. And, of course, that's King James for share. I'm sharing with you, and I'm helping other experts like Dr. Swank here share with you. And you're exhorted to share with this ministry if that is your calling. And we trust in God, of course, and we walk in his commands, and we trust you do also. And so if you can, tuck in something with us. But if you can't, still communicate. Write us, email us, tell us that you're listening. Do what you can. And again, info@greatshalom.org if you're email capable. But if not, our land address is P.O. Box 971, Austin, 78630. P.O. Box 971, Austin, 78630. It's important that anyone can hear us in real time on the World Wide Web at www.klgo.net. And there are audio copies on my website, www.greatshalom.org. And certainly send us your questions, and you may blog right there. Dr. Swank, do you have a very brief parting comment?
Just thank you so much for having me. It's been very helpful to listen to you talk about children. Children are our mission at the Swank Enrichment Center, and we do see it as a mission. One of our goals is to get these children in, help them as quickly as possible, and to get them out into the real world again.
Well, great. Thank you for what you do. And this is Sharon Sarles on the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants well-being for all children.
Amen.
Celebrate the victory. Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom Broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come. The Great Shalom Broadcast is here to bring hope, health, and healing for children and youth by inspiring, informing, equipping parents and educators. For more information on today's program or today's offer, simply log on to thegreatshalom.org or email info@greatshalom.org. Join Sharon Sarles again next Saturday morning at 7:30 a.m. for the Great Shalom Broadcast here on The Word 99.3 and 98.5.